from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning, happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday to you. My three cups of coffee are starting to wear off, and people are asking me to never drink three cups of coffee before our show again. So I apologize. Hey, coming up at 10:30, Secretary of State Kim Wyman, she told KUOW that she might quit the GOP. Question is, should she? Ursula and I will discuss that at 10:30. But right now, Ursula, game show.
Well, yeah. So we want to talk about all the executive orders that President Biden signed on his first day.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about that in a second. But let's start with something that you actually texted me about yesterday. And that was this letter from Amazon. So Amazon is telling President Biden that they want to help his administration achieve one of their top goals, which is to vaccinate 100 million Americans in 100 days. So this is what Amazon is proposing. They say they are standing by. They're ready to help. Dave Clark, the CEO of Amazon's worldwide consumer division, wrote the letter saying that we are prepared to leverage our operations, our information technology, our communications capabilities, and our expertise to assist your administration's vaccination efforts. Our scale allows us to make a meaningful impact immediately in the fight against COVID-19, and we stand ready to assist you in this effort. My immediate reaction, G, was, well, that's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool, but you sound like you have a yeah, but. By the way, I'm really good at knowing when somebody has a yeah, but at the end. I'm willing. Go ahead, continue. This is great news so far,
yeah,
by the way.
So then I was getting ready for work this morning, and then I hear a few more details that I hadn't thought of or hadn't seen, I think, in my brief look at the letter that you sent me. And that was that Amazon also wants to exchange, though. It's like, we'll help you. It's like, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine kind of thing. And they want to get their employees, or many of their critical employees, because obviously Amazon is very busy now with everyone buying online. And so they want to get theirs to be among the first to be vaccinated.
Okay. I mean,
so how do you feel about that?
You know, you would think that Amazon would do it out of the kindness, or as we used to say coming up, the goodness of your heart. But in this case, I kind of get it. It's a let's make a deal type of thing. And I'm willing to, if you will, overlook it so that 100 million Americans can be vaccinated in the first 100 days of President Joe Biden's presidency. So in this case, I kind of understand. It's hey, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah. So, Chef, just because I want to make sure that I'm 100% accurate, can you take a look and let us know exactly what it is that Amazon is asking? I heard the figure 500,000, but I just want to make sure that I am being accurate on that.
Well, part of the problem is that most of the news reports do not include any details about any ask from Amazon. They just reported on the press release itself. So that snippet that G had is all I've actually seen of it.
Okay. So if it is just, hey, we want to help you, because Starbucks has said that, Microsoft has said that, and the government our state is actually doing a public-private partnership when it comes to vaccinations here in Washington. I think the idea of a public-private partnership is fantastic. Now, the question is, should that give that company, though, a chance to move up in line if you're going to be doing that, whether it's Amazon, whether it's anybody else?
You know, Ursula, and as you were talking about this, and I was thinking, and look, yes, I'm okay with it. That's number one. But number two, you know what I'm really okay with? And I was thinking about our conversation. We just had Chris Sullivan on, Sully on, talking about what's going on. And I'm okay sometimes with private companies starting to do things. Could you imagine if we had some private companies come in to bid against Sound Transit here in this area? maybe like you talked about earlier, being able to get some of these bids to actually come close to what's being discussed instead
right.
of being so used to always like, hey, it's Sound Transit. You know, you're going to pay more. You know what I mean? So maybe that this is the future as okay. we start going more private companies. Go
okay,
ahead.
I just Googled it and found it. Okay, so he is reiterating a request that Amazon made to the CDC last month, asking that frontline workers among the company's more than 800,000 U.S. employees receive vaccines at the earliest appropriate time. So it doesn't sound like a we're not going to help you if you don't do this, but hey, if we do, we kind of think that maybe some of our frontline workers should be among the first.
Can I ask one more question? And here's another thing that I've been thinking about. Now, it's no secret. I ain't a Trump fan. That's cool. But why all of a sudden did Amazon do this yesterday instead of 2 days ago, last week, or before? Like, I mean, could you
very
guys
deliberate.
I mean, could Amazon have done this before? Like, take away your feelings on Trump and his administration. I don't care what your feelings are. If you could have offered this a week ago, 2 weeks ago, my question is why couldn't you? And don't lie and say that yesterday, coincidentally, on the day of inauguration, that you guys said, you know what? Maybe we can offer our services to help 100 million Americans get the vaccine in their arms. So I kind of got a little bad taste in my mouth from
agree.
Amazon just doing it yesterday.
Yeah, agree. I mean, it was obviously very deliberate in that they offered it. They could have offered this, you know, how long now have we been trying to get the vaccine out? Obviously, we were having a struggle. So it is very clear that they waited until a new and which is their right. But, you know, is that the right thing to do? We should never have politicized this dang virus in the first place.
Facts.
And I think this is, an additional example of how that is. But in any case, that is the request. And
well, Chef might didn't like what I had to do. Chef, you going to say something?
No, I love what you had to say, G. I just wanted to know, G and Ursula, if you guys want to call your shots on something in the story we haven't talked about, and that is Biden's 100 million doses of vaccine in the first 100 days. Do you think that will happen?
I think you have to shoot for the moon. I don't think it's going to happen. And I just already saw that the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, is kind of hacked off because he says we're almost at the verge of having 1 million a day. And so much is being said about inheriting a complete mess. And you know, what they're trying to do has been unprecedented. And I think we still need to give the Trump administration credit for getting this vaccine, whatever role they played in getting the vaccine out quickly when no one thought it could happen. So,
I know one thing. I'd be mad if Lillian was one way in our relationship and then she and I didn't work out and she got with the next relationship. And I say, well, look, how come you couldn't have been like that in ours? Don't hold back.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Jeff Bezos was a frequent target, both Amazon and the Washington Post, of the president's ire. So I'm not exactly surprised.
I'm not surprised either. But is it the right thing to do if you're if you're doing it out of benevolence, or if you're doing it because you really truly want to help everybody, should it be politicized? And I'd say no. Okay, so let's talk about what President Biden did and where we said yes, no, or still not sold.
Okay.
We're going to say yes, no, still not sold, but we have to give a little bit of an explanation. So let's talk about some of the things that he's done so far. Let me throw this one in here. It's not on our list because it just happened today. But President Joe Biden has issued an executive order reversing the ban on race and gender diversity training by the federal government and contractors.
So, wait, I just want to make sure I get this right. So
basically, he undid what Trump did in terms of, remember, President Trump banned diversity training. So he's saying, nope, we're going to continue to do that. We're going to go back to doing race and gender diversity training in federal government.
Yes. Yes. It is so important. And I want to throw myself under the bus a little bit, if you will.
Because I remember what you said about some diversity training.
Wait, where were you going? What did I say?
You said sometimes it's not that effective.
Oh, well, I mean, sometimes you're right. Because it's not that effective, because some companies just put it on the checklist and like, hey, yes, we just bring in somebody. Hey, diversity training. Who's training us? Oh, Charlie here. He had a black neighbor. Okay, Charlie. Anyways, but the importance of diversity training, and this is where it's so important. I realize Lillian did some, she did a training. She was part of a training recently, and she was talking to me about some of the things that she had learned. And when I was listening, I was just like, wow, I need to learn. Like, for an example, are you guys up to date on pronouns and how to refer to someone? And all I'm saying is I personally, Ursula, never want to be the old guy in a room that people are like, yeah, stay away from that guy. He's a little bit outdated in what he says. And I don't want to say anything to hurt anybody's feelings, because that's not my heart, right? But sometimes, because we aren't up to date, we might do and say something that hurt other people's feelings. Most people don't want to hurt people's feelings at all. And so I do believe that we still need to learn. I need more diversity training.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
You know what I mean? Like, we remember we had the topic, the conversations, and I said, Ursula, when we start having this conversation about whether or not trans should be in sports and these type of sports, I said it on the air. I said, I'm not very comfortable with having this conversation.
You did.
I did. So I'm saying I need it. So I think all of us need to be up to date and understanding who our neighbors are. And let's quit having people hide who they are so that the majority can be comfortable.
Agreed.
We need to celebrate diversity.
Yeah, and at least start on the same page. So understanding what is proper language, what is proper, you know, so everyone starting on the same page. Okay, so how about the end to the Muslim travel ban?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Yes, I agree. Instead of a ban, though, the White House now says it'll improve the screening of visitors by strengthening information sharing with foreign governments and other measures. Okay, so I agree with that. How about the Keystone Pipeline is scrapped at the stroke of a pen?
Okay. I want to be on the air and say it, because that way you got – I can honestly say yesterday when I saw this, Ursula, and I said to myself – that's going to be my goal this weekend. I've seen that topic talked about. I'm not really up to date on that entire conversation. So I'm going to be fair and honest. And I'm not just going to say, oh, yeah, I agree with President Joe Biden. I'm not going to do that. I need to get up more to date with that topic.
Yeah, my concern with this, so I'm going to say not sold, still not sold, because this is going to result already the company has said we have to lay off 1,000 people. This has been something that has been debated for more than 12 years. And this pipeline is meant to carry Canadian crude to the U.S.
Okay.
And so not only will they be eliminating 1,000 construction jobs, but according to the governor of Nebraska, I believe, yes, Nebraska, this not constructing this pipeline, in his words, would mean more dependence on overseas energy sources, as well as fewer jobs and less property tax relief for Nebraskans. I hate the idea of more dependence on overseas energy sources, so I'm going to say I hold off on that one, too, because I would want to learn more about that. Sure. Okay, we're back into the Paris Climate Accord. We've rejoined.
Yeah, I don't agree with this, because this leaves out Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? And what happened with Pittsburgh? This is me a play on tape.
Wait. The Paris Climate Accord? Wait, what?
You didn't know?
Yeah.
I call him Raphael. Senator Ted Cruz said, quote, by rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, President Biden indicate he's more interested in the views of the citizens of Paris than in the jobs of citizens. Ursula, does he not know that Paris was an international agreement that was signed by a bunch of countries, not just by France? It's to help the entire planet. Exactly. Come on, Raphael.
Exactly.
Wait a minute, G. So I'm totally on board with Biden getting the U.S. back in the Paris Climate Accords. But, gee, just a minute ago, you were talking about the importance of diversity training and how it was very, very crucial to use people's proper pronouns. Well, Ted Cruz likes to be called Ted, not Raphael. Can you work on the proper pronoun, please?
Yeah, and I don't even still get the Raphael, to be honest.
Wait. No, hold, wait a minute, Ursula. Are you being serious that you don't get it?
I'm serious.
He wants to be called Ted instead of Raphael? Ursula, he wants to be called Ted. When you look at a resume, you've done a lot of resumes in your life.
Yes.
You see that name called Ted. You're like, oh.
I see what you're saying. Okay. I gotcha. Okay. I'm trying to.
Come on now.
Okay.
You know he don't want to be called Raphael.
I getcha. Okay. I gotta click in here. Okay.
My grandfather's name was Raphael.
My brother's name was Rolf. Okay, the U.S. is rejoining the World Health Organization.
Yes.
Okay, the World Health Organization is not a perfect organization, mm-mm. And during the pandemic, we've learned there are some big issues, but I like the idea of, again, the U.S. being part of this and maybe working to help influence it to become better. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about the border wall construction is halted?
I mean, they had a lot of progress on the wall, Ursula. There was a lot of progress, so I don't know. Yes, I'm okay with it being halted.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize. Yes, I'm being honest. Yes, I am okay with it being halted.
Okay.
And what did he do anything with the health care plan that President Trump left?
What health care plan? Okay, would you stop being so facetious?
I'm sorry.
Please. Okay. Go ahead. Explain that.
Gee. The healthcare plan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw Kayleigh McEnany, and she gave a big old stack, big healthcare
plan. The binder?
The binder. That was full. And it was 2 weeks away from when they did that interview. And so I know that when that healthcare plan, because everybody was so against Obamacare, that they always talked about the healthcare plan. It was always 2 weeks away. So with that big binder, I'm quite sure that we have to look into that and to see what they want to keep and what they don't want to keep.
I gotcha. Okay, hey, you know when people hear you say that you are against the border wall, that they might assume that you're just plain old into open borders. You want to just let everyone in. Is that true?
No, I'm not into just letting anyone in. And I'm definitely not into just picking and choosing who we allow into this country. Because if for some reason it just seems like the darker the skin, that's the people that so many are against coming into this country. No, I'm not against that at all.
I am in favor of immigration reform. I am not in favor of wide open borders. And as someone who is an immigrant, someone who did move here in 1978 as a 13-year-old from the Philippines, I am so thankful that I did have a path to citizenship, that I did have a green card, that my family was allowed to come in, and we were allowed to, for those of us who wanted to become American citizens, we were allowed to work toward that goal. And I'm so proud to say that I am an American. Hmm.
I'm proud that you're an American too.
We're done.
I don't know if I don't
We're
know
done
if,
with the segment.
I don't know if anybody would agree to do a radio show with me outside of you. There's 350 something million people in the United States of America, and Ursula is the only crazy one to risk her entire career hanging out with me on a daily basis. I love you for that, Ursula.
I love you too.
Hey, coming up next. Secretary of State Kim Wyman, she told KUOW that she might quit the GOP. The question is, should she? Ursula and I, we discuss that next. It's the G and Ursula Show.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. Those three cups of coffee, G, have made you so feisty. You were mentioning the last segment, you were talking about Raphael, and I was like not quite getting what you were saying and why you were calling. Now I understand that his actual name, his real name, his birth name is Raphael Edward, quote unquote, Ted Cruz. So he goes by Ted, but his real name is Raphael. I get it now. I'm sorry I was like a step behind the whole time thinking, what are you talking about? But as it turns out, I'm not the only one in the newsroom who was a little confused. So
Who else was confused?
Oh, well, our newscaster, Aaron. Well, so he didn't know that either. We're just not in the know when it comes to Ted Cruz.
I warned everybody on the Gene Ursula show today. I said I had a bunch of cups of coffee, but... Can you remind the newsroom what day it is tomorrow?
It's Friday. Fresh Friday.
So I will be in studio, and I'm bringing treats and everything.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Okay, so you guys, actually, on the day I was gone, I listened from Ocean Shores. I listened to the interview that you did with Secretary of State Kim Wyman. And she has been in such a tough spot this past year because she's been forced to defend the integrity of our elections from members of her own Republican Party and from former President Trump. And when you talked to her on Monday, she talked about the state director of elections who's had to go into hiding because of threats.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the following day she had an interview with KUOW, and then she mentioned during that interview that she has considered leaving the Republican Party. Should she?
No, she should not leave the Republican Party.
Why?
It is very important. Okay. And by the way, I don't consider myself a Democrat. I've never belonged to any type of label, no gang, no gangster disciple, no vice lord, no crip, no blood. I'm me. And I'm not being funny when I say that. So anybody that thinks I'm a Democrat, sadly mistaken. I voted for George W. both times. Anyways, I want to be clear on this and how important it is for the GOP to right this ship and get things back on. And I believe the Secretary of State, Kim Wyman, is, I think she's a great person. I think she's a great example in leadership. She does a great job. She should stay over with the GOP, because if the GOP starts losing some of their good folks, and I do think Secretary of State Kim Wyman is one of some of those good folks, they start losing them over to the Democratic side, then what happens to the GOP party?
Then but don't assume that she's going to go Democrat. She could be independent.
Maybe she can go independent or something like that. But you and I both know, will independent win big offices here in the state of Washington, Ursula?
No.
Okay. So somebody like Secretary of State Kim Wyman, I think she's better suited there. And the reason why I'm saying that is if folks start leaving the GOP, the Republican Party, and start leaving that party, then that gives rise an opportunity for another party to rise up. And I think we all can agree what we're starting to see based on the chatter and everything, that could happen. And I don't want to see that happen, because sometimes, you know what? The Democrats do some dumb stuff a lot of the times, and sometimes they need some checks and balances. So please, I would love to see the biggest thing that I would like to see the Republican Party do is rid themselves of the person that spent his life bankrupting casinos, right? Like, think about it. Do you know what you have to do to bankrupt a casino?
Let's just be realistic. That's not going to happen. I mean, look, even just in Congress, look at how many people, even after what happened on January 6th, how many people still voted to say that they had issues with the election. So I understand where Kim Wyman is coming from, saying my own party has forced one of my people to now have to go into hiding because I cannot say anything to convince them that this election in our state was valid and without any evidence of widespread fraud. And they're continuing to propagate a lie that basically is very insulting to her. And her quote to KUOW was, she says, "I think every Republican elected official right now in the country is really having to do some soul searching about why they are Republican and what it means to them and why they are a part of this party. And I know that I've been doing that. For me, what used to be the Republican Party would be wanting smaller government, wanting pro-life.
Less spending.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Less taxes. Mm-hmm. And I respect the people who want to adhere to those policies or who believe in those, and that is fine.
Yep.
And I may disagree with them. But as you said, the Republican Party is very fractured right now. And which direction are they going to go? If she sticks with it, does that end up hurting her? Or is there going to be, I mean, or is there going to be some kind of break where it's going to be this populist, you know, newer version that we've seen with President Trump,
right,
who is not going to go away. He's promised to come back soon. And then, you know, the more traditional Republicans actually gain more of a backbone. I respect Kim Wyman even more to say, and that's a tough thing to say when you're already under fire by your own party.
I have great respect for her, too. I just believe in my heart that and I think, yes, there's a fracture going on with the Republican Party, but I'm hoping that they kind of rise above and rid themselves of this Trump part of it, because I think it's good for our country. I believe that it's good for our country for the Republican Party to stay intact. So that is why I am on the side of, I mean, she said what she said, and we totally understand what she said, because she was on our show and she's given reasons as to why she's saying that for the deep soul searching. I just believe that the Republican Party continuing to stay afloat is important for our country.
Yes. I mean, it's going to stay afloat. It's just what form it's going to take is a whole nother question. Okay, I just want to squeeze one other story in. We've got 3 minutes, G.
Yes.
But this, we've been bumping this, and we want to get this on. So you've heard now that Seattle City Councilmember Shama Sawant says she's been getting threatening emails, and she's calling for a police investigation. She says she got numerous emails that appear to be from someone who works in the Seattle Fire Department. And the most recent one read that it's time to announce your expiration. Time is here. You'll not have a place after tomorrow, Councilwoman. Announce your resignation now or else. She says she got these emails between December 17th and January 18th. Police say they were notified on Tuesday night. They launched an immediate investigation. The fire department says their employee claims that he did not send those emails, but Sawant doesn't think that the fire department is taking this matter seriously.
The fire department, that's it's unfortunate, and I hope that they take this very serious. I don't think that Shama Sawant is lying about this. You, this would be a great way to truly vet this story and come out and say that she's lying. So I think we... I think I know that I don't think she's lying. With that being said, this is a very serious situation that she's getting this kind of threats.
I agree. I mean, you have to take the threats seriously. I'm going to do a pause. And then I'm also going to say I do find it ironic that Shama Sawant, who has been calling for defunding police by 50% and has stayed with that old 50% and hasn't shown a lot of support for the police department, you know, the first time that she is actually feeling a threat, that she has gone right away and said, we need a police investigation, which and the police department agrees. And I agree it does. But I think it's an illustration of how you can't just call for the defunding 50%, not show a lot of support for police. And yet when you are in trouble, who do you call? The police.
Yeah.
If that makes any sort of sense. The irony is not lost on me.
It makes total sense. Ursula, I'm not going to argue with you on that, which is why I never liked that word defund.
Yeah.
I never liked the word.
Well, I never liked the effort of trying to defund by 50% without knowing what it is that you want. You just by principle, you think, let's just cut it by half.
Yeah.
That was silly.
But I will say, I gave this example when we used to talk about it, because if Lily and I are in the bed and there's a noise, I'm not calling Chef. I'm calling the police.
Exactly.
Help. Coming up next, we do scenarios. This is G and Ursa Show. It is International Sweatpants Day. Coming up in Agree to Disagree, the question is this. Isn't every day Sweatpants Day? We will discuss that in Agree to Disagree. That comes up at 11 o'clock. But Ursula, it's right now time for your favorite scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
G. Ursula and Chef, ooh-wee, did I do something that ain't good? I told a woman the meaning of her daughter's name and now everyone is upset with me. 3 weeks ago, I went to visit my friend. Let's just call her Alice. And during my visit, her friend stopped by. Mary and I started having a conversation. And during that conversation, she asked about my cultural ethnic background. I explained that I'm Ethiopian. We talked about how she spent time in Ethiopia and when she was younger and how much of an impact the people, culture, and traditions had on her. She then told me that the locals named her Yema Yemishi because that means beloved one, and that she loved the name so much that she has chosen that name for her daughter. I said, "Hey, are you serious?" And she told me, "Yes, that was her name. Yema Yemishi was her daughter's name." Okay, here's the problem. That name does not mean beloved one in my language. It actually means uncomfortable, inconvenient, imbecile, depending on how you use it. So I told her the true meaning. Mary now is angry with me and refuses to accept that she named her child an unpleasant, offensive name. Mary left angry, and now everybody is upset with me for hurting Mary's feelings, as she feels I shouldn't have told her. I do feel bad as she seemed genuinely hurt, but I don't know what to do or how to fix hurting Mary's feelings. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you up to bat first.
Well, unfortunately, the damage is done. And so she cannot undo it because her friend now will always know. If it in fact is true, I know nothing about the Ethiopian language and whether that is in fact true.
Sure.
But I wouldn't put, if I would apologize. I would reach out and apologize. But I also hope it's a lesson to this woman who blurted that out. Because what was her intent in telling her? Why didn't she just leave it alone? And this is something that I tell my kids too. When you're about to say something to someone, what is your intent if you know it could potentially hurt someone's feelings?
You know what it is? You know what the intent is, Ursula?
What?
We as a lot of people, we just want to say that we're right about something. And the older we get, the more we get better with keeping our mouth shut. I myself have had to learn. Over the years, I've said some dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been right, but was it really the right time to say that?
Like, why do it?
Why do you know? Exactly.
Right? Why do it?
Yeah.
So now you have to apologize.
Chef, what you got, bruh?
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have told her because, look... It's like when someone gets a tattoo, you know, in Chinese characters or kanji, and they think it means like wise one, and actually it means like idiot. I mean, you can't change that really, right? You can't change your daughter's name. I guess you could, but would you? You've rewritten basically her whole beautiful history of her interaction with everyone in Ethiopia, and that seems incredibly hurtful. At the same time, for anyone who says you shouldn't have done it, would you not do exactly the same thing? Imagine if someone came up to you, you're in Denmark, say, and they're like, "Hey, my name's Jerkface." And you're like, wait, Jerkface? Yeah, Jerkface. That's what all my English friends call me. Tell me you would not immediately be like, whoa, let me tell you what that actually means. There's no way you could withhold yourself from doing that. And if you say you could, I don't believe you.
Hey, Chef, I would. I'm telling you, I'm doing a very good job later on in life of minding my business. It's important. Coming up next, it is time for Agree to Disagree. You listen to the G and Ursula Show.